wondered why it was all life and time, just never meant to. You know, time and time, it's it again. Don't be there till the very end. The sun and the moon, how they cross the sky, they mark my path with the hidden line. Have you ever wondered why it was so lifetime?
It has been said that the quest for freedom can lie found at the core of every human being. If you love freedom the way we love freedom, then you've come to the right place. This is the Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent. Live free, think free, talk free, toll free. The number is 877-270-8714. Or call us directly at 530-413-4515. Canadian residents call toll-free at 888-228-4494. Let's talk freedom. Give us a call.
Hello. This is Stephen Vincent, and you're listening to The Freedom Message on bbsradio.com. Thank you for listening. The number to call in is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. I'm looking forward to receiving your call and talking Ron Paul with you. Hope you're having a great day. And as I understand it, it's been quite a great couple of days in the Ron Paul campaign. Of course, on Wednesday, we had Ron Paul's visit to Los Angeles, which was an absolute smashing success in every respect. And he was in San Francisco yesterday, and as I understood, he also did exceptionally well in fundraising there, and there was a march down Market Street with Ron Paul at the head. I saw a little bit of video of that, quite inspiring. And today, Ron Paul is in Seattle, and there will be a rally tonight at 7:30 p.m. in Seattle, and there have been fundraisers going on all day. If you have any eyewitness reports, first-hand reports of these events in San Francisco and Seattle, please, by all means, give a call and tell people all about it. I'd be very happy to hear from you. And wanted to remind you that on Monday there will be a debate in Fort Lauderdale, and that's this coming Monday. And this is called the Values Voter Presidential Debate, September 17th, 2007 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And that would be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I know our friend Eric Overholtz called in yesterday, who, by the way, is the author of the introduction that you're hearing, that's been playing. And I thank him again very much for doing that for me. And he's going to be there, and he may even be reporting in for us live from the site of this debate in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I think there's every reason to be very optimistic about this, because it's substantially different. It seems that it's going to be independent of major news media. So, as I understand it, it's going to be broadcast on the Daystar Television Network. I'm just getting this information now. The event will be broadcast live on Sky Angel. Okay, I have to be honest, I don't know what that is. And streamed live on pro-family websites, including valuesvoterdebate.com and afa.net. So, and let's see. It will also be televised Saturday night, September 22nd, on the INSP network and aired on the Daystar Television Network, as seen around the world on God TV. So it does not appear that this will be broadcast on a major television network, although it seems ABC News Radio will be picking it up. But the people that are participating in it, the questions will come from 40 different, what they determine to be recognized leaders of different organizations. And here's a short list that I've gotten off the website, or off the Christian News Wire. Phyllis Schlafly, who many people are familiar with if you've been familiar with conservative circles. Phyllis Schlafly, the president of the Eagle Forum, will be one of the people asking questions. Don Wildman, chairman of the American Family Association. Paul Weyrich, president of Free Congress Foundation. Judge Roy Moore, chairman of the Foundation for Moral Law. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Judge Roy Moore was the Alabama judge that I believe resisted having a statue taken away from his. No, was that the Confederate flag? I know there was something—a statue, a Confederate flag, or it had something to do with taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, something like that. Anyway, I know that he's been involved in issues like that. Janet Folger, president of Faith to Action. Rick Scarborough, president of Vision America. Matt Staver, chairman of Liberty Council. Stan Parker, president of Coalition on Urban Renewal and Education. Bobby Schindler of Terry's Fight. Oh, that would be Terry Schiavo, I believe. And Stephen Bennett of Stephen Bennett Ministries. So this appears to be somewhat of a Christian conservative agenda. I think that our candidate should fare well in this environment. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing this and hearing this. So that'll be this coming Monday. Now, let's see. Also, very important that you all know that this is Constitution Day weekend. And we will be having a national Constitution Day celebration this Sunday here in Los Angeles. We're celebrating it at 11 a.m. at the promenade in Santa Monica on 3rd Street Promenade. And that'll be at the corner of Arizona. We'll be meeting at the corner of Arizona and 3rd Street. And I've already received notifications of other Constitution Day celebrations going on across the country. Now, what I would like to do is, if you do get out there and celebrate the Constitution Ron Paul style this weekend, please let me know. Send me a link to your meetup calendar or whatever information you may have, and also pictures. If you send me some pictures, they'll go into a YouTube video slideshow that I will prepare for the event. So send that information to freedommessage@sbcglobal.net, freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. And there will also be conference calls tonight. It's a couple of very important conference calls. So the next All America Walk in support of the Ron Paul Freedom Message will be October 13th, and we are planning for this, and I need you to get involved. It's highly important that we have all 50 states represented and that we double our numbers from last time. And the conference call is tonight, and go ahead and get your pen, and I'll give you the call-in number and the code to be on the conference call. Get your pen ready. This will be a conference call at 5 p.m. Pacific time. 5 p.m. Pacific time. And that'll be for an hour from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific. And then after that, there will be a conference call to plan the Republican National Women's Convention in Palm Springs, California. Republican National Women's Convention. And we want to have a strong showing of Ron Paul women at that convention. Very, very important that we be there and that we show that we are for real, and impress the ladies with the vitality that the Ron Paul movement is bringing back to the Republican Party. And so there will be a conference call immediately following the All-America Walk conference call from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time. And the number here it is, 712-432-2600. 712-432-2600. And the code, so you're going to need a participant access code. The code is 26447, 26447. Again, the number 712-432-2600, code 26447. Looking forward to speaking with you tonight. on both of these important projects. And remember, this Sunday is Constitution Day, so get out there and support the Constitution and tell the world that if we want to restore the constitutional government to this country, we've got to elect Ron Paul president. So I have a couple of other new projects that I'm launching as of today. I have mentioned in the past that I will be launching Facts on Fred, Project Facts on Fred, and the website will go up tomorrow. It is FactsOnFredThompson.com. FactsOnFredThompson.com. The purpose of this is to gather all the dirt we can get in one place on Fred Thompson and let people know what he is, which is not a conservative. Absolutely not a conservative. We'll be getting back to that. I have a piece of audio that I interviewed briefly Ron Paul and asked him a question about Fred Thompson. And we'll be playing that very shortly. So stay tuned for that. I'm also announcing that there is Project I Will Vote for Ron Paul. Project I Will Vote for Ron Paul. So they tell us that Ron Paul polls 2%. They tell us he doesn't have a chance. They tell us he doesn't have any real support. We hear this over and over and over again, yet we go to rallies and there's 1,000-plus people. You know, anywhere that Ron Paul goes, he's mobbed by supporters. This doesn't happen for any other candidate. Every online poll, he wins. Straw polls, winning first, second, third place, placing strong. So there's this discrepancy. So we need to put this to rest, okay? We need a highly scientific, verifiable online means of showing just exactly how many Ron Paul supporters there are and how many people are going to be voting for Ron Paul. So I have started I Will Vote for Ron Paul. It's a page on my website. You go to www.ronpaulradio.us. And you'll see on the right-hand side the project I Will Vote for Ron Paul. And I use the website petitiononline.com, petitiononline.com. And what you'll do, and I only set up California because that's the state that I'm in, but we need to set a page up for every single state. And it's a simple statement. It says, I will register as a Republican and I will vote for Ron Paul in the Republican primary on February 4th, 2008 in California. And you register there, you sign the petition, you include your real name and your email address for verification, the city and zip code, and the congressional district in which you reside. And this information will be accumulated, and we will have an official list of everyone, hopefully, that we can get this information to and get them to do it, to prove that there is real support, verifiable support. Please do this immediately, right now, literally. If you're only California set up, but there's also a national one. I guess they got the idea from somebody who's doing a national version of this. Okay, so the national one is up there as well, and I decided that we needed to do it on a state-by-state basis. Now, this will also serve as an organizing tool because we will have people by congressional district, and we will have a log and a register of people by congressional district that we can go to and email to and contact and say, hey, now's the time to get out there in your congressional district, do the canvassing, get people out to vote. So we can use this not only as a propaganda tool, not the wrong word, but a publicity tool, but also as an organizing tool. So we're going to break it down by state, but do the national one as well, and it's available for you right now, please, immediately, at sitting at your computer, right? RonPaulRadio.us. Look on the right-hand side. I believe the full URL is RonPaulRadio.us/IWillVoteFor, RonPaul.html. And go there, and it'll link you to the petition online, and you will register right now saying, yes, I will vote for Ron Paul, both on a national and on a state level. If you're in California, go for it right now. Let's get some numbers up. Let's get this out there. Email this to everybody that you know. Get them to sign up. Let's prove this 2% stuff wrong. And we know it's wrong. I'll tell you how I know it's wrong. Okay? I had car trouble. And it was one of these little problems with the car where it was intermittent. And in order for the mechanic to solve the problem, he had to make the problem happen. And it involved getting the car hot in order to make the problem happen so that the fuel system would shut off. And so he had to do a lot of test driving of the car to provoke the problem so he could figure out what it was. So here he is, my mechanic Frank, and if anybody needs a good mechanic in the North Hollywood area, this guy is great. Okay, he was really great, and he's honest, believe it or not. I mean, he is like the Ron Paul of mechanics, okay? You know how Ron Paul, you know he's honest, and you can believe in him, and you can trust him. Frank is the Ron Paul of mechanics, okay? Great guy, a naturalized American citizen from El Salvador. He's helped me out a lot over the years. Anyway, Frank had to test drive my car. And I went to pick it up this morning, and I have my car Ron Pauled up, bumper stickers all over the place, and the windows, big Ron Paul 2008 for president, front and back. He said that at least 10 times while he was test driving the car, people pulled up alongside of him, they were honking their horns at him, they were saying, yeah, Ron Paul, thumbs up, everywhere he went. Okay? That's how I know the 2% polling numbers are... Okay, I'm not going to use any foul language, but you know what I feel like saying. All right? It's not true. It's just not the case. So we need to prove this. So please, ronpaulradio.us, I will vote for Ron Paul Project. Register yourself there. Let's prove him wrong. Okay, and then facts on Fred. Already people have been sending me information on Fred Thompson. And to the listeners who have sent it in and I didn't email you back, thank you very much for sending the information in. I apologize that I haven't emailed you back. A, I haven't been able to read the information because I am so busy. And B, I haven't had time to write the response or to say even thank you. I'm just so swamped with so many things happening in the month of September. It's absolutely phenomenal. So, but I'm trying to get it all done, and just verbally right now to everyone who sent me information, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and it's very, very important, and that will be getting up on factsonfred.com as soon as that's up, factsonfredthompson.com. So, speaking of Fred Thompson, which you're going to hear me do a lot of until we put this puppy to rest, we're going to go ahead and listen to a piece of audio that I did with our candidate, Ron Paul, this Wednesday. And so go ahead and cue up the Ron Paul and Stephen Vincent clip. And when you're ready, go ahead and roll it. Okay, Seth, let's go ahead and roll that Ron Paul with Stephen Vincent clip, please.
Oh, you kicked me off.
No, you're the inspiration of it. Yes, I mean, thank you very much for that. Yes, we're broadcasting wirelessly live over the Internet via bbsradio.com to thousands of your supporters listening across the country and probably across the world. And the question I have for you today is regarding Fred Thompson. He's entered the race now, apparently, as a conservative candidate, yet he's chosen the slogan Security, Unity, Prosperity, and his statement of purpose includes three references to the greater good. My impression of this is somewhat of a collectivist, socialistic almost, slant to security, unity, prosperity, and the greater good. It sounds like, to me, something out of the Eastern Bloc. How can one claim to be a conservative and put that forth as one's approach?
I wouldn't argue with your analysis because the greater good is a very, very dangerous slogan. The greater good is a very socialistic idea because in a free society, the good that we want is directed toward the individual. We have to dwell on individual rights. We don't dwell on group rights. Nobody gets a right because they belong to a particular group. Everybody has equal rights because they're an individual. The greater good is an excuse to redistribute wealth and to police not only the individuals here at home, but to police the world. The greater good is an excuse to use for policing the world, to police the economy and redistribute wealth, and to police you as an individual and what you want to read and say and do. So that's a very, very dangerous term, and it's the opposite of liberty.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing for our country.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so there you have it. Ron Paul concurs with my analysis of Fred Thompson and his slogan for his campaign. I have to tell you that I was afraid that, I was somewhat nervous prior to asking the question that I would stumble, that I would bumble, that I wouldn't remember my question, that I wouldn't express it clearly, that all these things. And I have to say, you know what? I felt really comfortable. I didn't feel, starstruck. And I would probably attribute that to the energy that Ron Paul puts out, that he made me feel comfortable. I actually sounded intelligible and clear in my question and presented it in a pretty solid way. So I was pleased with that. I think I was more kind of nervous afterwards. After I was kind of like, oh my God, I asked Ron Paul a question, and it went pretty well. So, just a little pat on my own back, I mean, it certainly could have gone poorly, and I felt like it went off fairly well. So, but then again, really gratifying that Ron Paul felt like my analysis was right on target. So, we will be pursuing facts on FredThompson.com. And we're going to take that big bear down. Okay, folks, give me your help, anything you got on them, any information that you can turn up. We're going to create an online database, one-stop shopping for dirt on Fred, factsonfredthompson.com. Email it to freedommessage@sbcglobal.net, freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. And I realize I haven't given out the number, and I really want to hear from you. Give me a call at 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. Give me a shout. Want to hear from you. Okay, so there is some new, brand new, I mean, this probably only out a couple of hours, Ron Paul audio, three pieces of, I don't know where he finds it, how is he doing this, and where he's finding the time for it, but three brand new pieces of Ron Paul audio interviews from today. He must have started early in the morning from Seattle. And the first is the Ron Paul and Brian and the Judge show. Okay, not familiar with this, but they were pretty positive folks. So let's go ahead and roll that Ron Paul, Brian and the Judge clip.
Called the Freedom Message.
The Freedom Message.
The Freedom Message.
Oh, you kicked me off.
Stop that. Ron Paul, Brian, and the Judge.
The longer you listen, the smarter you get. Brian and the Judge on Fox News Talk.
Hey, welcome back to Brian and the Judge. Kirsten Powers in for Brian Kilmeade, Judge Napolitano with you. Our call number is 866-408-7669. The last time I was in the same room with our next guest, Kirsten Powers, I introduced him as the Thomas Jefferson of the Republican Party. I believed it then, and I believe it now. Not only is he the only person in public life today who understands the Constitution and is faithful to it, he's also delivered about 4,000 babies.
Wow,
Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, welcome to Brian and the Judge.
Thank you, Judge. Great to be with you.
We were talking before you came on about a startling statistic, and I'd like you to explain it to us if you could. 50% of the financial contributions from retired military, 50% are going to you. Why is that?
Well,
do they know something about the war that civilians don't?
I think maybe you already answered it. You introduced me as being knowledgeable in defending the Constitution. And, people who go to war and serve in the military, as I have, we take an oath to uphold the Constitution. So if you're fighting for the Constitution and somebody is defending the Constitution, it should be a connection. This idea that I want to go to war only with a declaration of war and defend the Constitution in a precise manner should be very supportive of all military. So I think it's a natural thing, but delighted because some people accuse me of not wanting to support the troops because I want to be more precise with the Constitution. But it's a very encouraging sign that the military understands this connection.
But this is sort of a lie that's being told over and over about where the military is, that you have to support the war in order to support the military. And when, in fact, like he just said, you know, 50% in the Republican primary is going to you. And also we've seen, I actually went through and added up yesterday all of the military donations. And if you add in you plus all of the people in the Democratic primary who are anti-war, it's 2-1 going to people who are against the war, and from military people.
Right. And, you know, I don't think for a minute anybody is hesitant to defend this country,
right.
And they're enthusiastic about it. But when they don't see it going well, and they don't understand exactly why we're involved, then they say, well, are we doing the best thing? And maybe we shouldn't be there. It's very costly in terms of life and limb, as well as dollar cost. So there's a lot of questions going on. So I think a lot of conservatives are now starting to feel more comfortable with what I've been saying because they thought maybe you had to be from the far left in order to be in opposition to going to war. But that is not true at all.
Well, I think you've tapped a vein, Congressman Paul, a deep vein of conservatives, small government, Barry Goldwater, conservatives in the Republican Party who've been stifled and silenced or maybe voluntarily quiet, I don't know what it is, during the Bush years. And these people are now coming out in droves proclaiming you as the true conservative.
Well, you know, I think that is quite possible, and it's good news. But, you know, it seems like some Republicans have short memories. Remember that in this year 2000, not too many of us coming from this wing of the party complained about George Bush's campaign of a more humble foreign policy, and we were condemning Clinton, you know, for too much bombing and too much intervention, and we didn't want to do nation building and be the policeman of the world. So all of a sudden, it seems like they've forgotten, and maybe what we're doing in our campaign is just reminding them that our roots are more in the area of trying to prevent war and end war rather than to precipitate.
Would you bring all the troops home tomorrow, as your colleague Dennis Kucinich and your former colleague John Edwards have said they would?
Well, I don't think it's impossible to do that, and I don't think, you know, symbolically, I want to bring them home as soon as possible because I want to change the policy. But, you know, you've got to be practical. You talk to the military people. You know, I understand that the Pentagon already has contingency plans, like they have contingency plans for expanding the war. They have one for, well, if they get the orders to come home. So there are plans on the table. How do we get our men out safely and quickly, if that's the case? So I think it's as soon as possible, but I can't see that happening, you know, in a day or a week or a month. It takes quite a few months. But I think explaining that our policies would be changed and that we're not going to be as confrontational. I mean, we didn't end the Cold War by being continuously confrontational. We may talk strongly, but behind the scenes, Reagan and others actually, you know, talked to our enemies and helped end those that conflict of the Cold War.
Yeah. Now the Republicans will say that they were opposed to nation building because that was a pre-9/11 mentality, and now post-9/11 they support it because, of course, like you said, Tom DeLay used to go on the House floor and deride Bill Clinton for his feel-good, you know, foreign policy that he's going around the world trying to save people. Now we're being told that we can't leave Iraq because there might be a genocide. You know, it's just sort of interesting to watch both sides of this. You know, and trying to reconcile it.
Yeah, and the justification keeps shifting. One, at the beginning it was to enforce UN resolutions and to find these weapons of mass destruction. They don't talk about UN resolutions because there's no government of Iraq that existed before. There are no weapons of mass destruction. So then we have to promote democracy, of course, in a world that is, you know, very opposed to democracy because they believe in religious law and they have a belief in combining religion and the state. So it keeps shifting. Now we have to be there to fight the Al-Qaeda. And the truth is, there is Al-Qaeda there, but they weren't there before. So you can't keep doing this. I think the real problems that we're having there is because we're occupiers. And it's a clear-cut signal that actually endangers us because we're seen as invaders. And right now it's been announced that even the president now says we can't possibly leave before 2008. But we're building more permanent bases there, right up on the borders of Iran, provoking even a confrontation there. We have 14 bases. We have an embassy that's the biggest in the world. world, what would we think if another country was doing that to us and saying that, well, we're not interested in your oil and we're not interested in controlling it? It's just unbelievable from their viewpoint, and unfortunately, we don't quite understand it from their viewpoint.
Congressman Paul, Paul O'Neill, who was the Secretary of the Treasury in the first Bush administration, has written that at the very first cabinet meeting, which was early February 2001, we're 8 months before 9/11 now, George Bush talked about attacking Iraq. What do you think is the real reason we're in Iraq? And include in your answer, don't governments like war because they can tax more and control more during wartime?
Well, I think you really touched on something there, because remember what Randolph Bourne said during World War One. He wrote a piece called War is the House of the State. So you have big government liberals and big government conservatives, and they might rationalize the war, but deep down in their heart they know it's an easy excuse. Because even some of the neocons, when they came out about 9/11, some people interpreted incorrectly, say, well, this was deliberately planned, which I don't believe, but at the same time, some of them were very blunt and say, well, this is an opportunity, you know, for us to do those things. So there were plans laid, even during the previous administration and early in this administration. But once 9/11 occurred, they used this as an excuse, because they did have the plans. Now, as far as what I really believe was the reason that we're in there, I think there are multiple, but I would say oil is pretty much on top of the list. I would give some credibility to the argument that the neocons themselves made. They're idealistic, and they think that we're better than everybody else and that we can promote our goodness through force, which I totally do not accept. I believe that we have a responsibility to spread our goodness, but only voluntarily by setting a good example. So those are the various reasons, and I think overall our foreign policy in the Middle East has prompted us to both support nations, you know, like Saudi Arabia and even Israel, that prompts us to do things like this.
Yeah. Now, you said Al-Qaeda now is in Iraq, even though they weren't there before, although they're still about, you know, somewhere around 5% probably. And the question, the argument is made, you know, we can't leave because Iraq will turn into a safe haven for terrorists, but isn't the safe haven really in Pakistan? And I mean, why would they stay in Iraq if we left?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's their training ground for the real planning and support and leadership's in Pakistan. But still, the madrasa schools, which we helped to energize and radicalize in the 1980s, they're coming from Saudi Arabia. You know, mm-hmm. I understand about 50% of the suicide terrorists that are existing in Iraq right now come from Saudi Arabia.
And Saudi Arabia is doing nothing to prosecute any known terrorists
not.
In their country.
Absolutely not. Before we let you go, just switching domestically, do you think that the three of us, Kirsten Powers, Ron Paul, and yours truly, will live to see a day when the IRS is abolished?
Well, let's pray that comes about. It won't come about unless we change our attitude about what the role of government is as a people, which means you can't run a world empire and you can't run a welfare state without gouging the productive citizens of a country. So when we give up this silly, unconstitutional notion that we're supposed to rule the world and manage a welfare state, I think we're going to have taxation that is going to be very, very painful until we have that final conclusive financial collapse, which I think we're in the early stages of.
Congressman Ron Paul, the most intellectually honest person in the Republican race for president. Always a pleasure. You're always welcome here. Thanks, Congressman.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
When we come back...
Okay, well, you have to be pleased with an interview that starts out with calling Ron Paul the Thomas Jefferson of our time. So that certainly sets a really positive tone from the very beginning. And as many have said, he is founding father material. And I think that's... Yeah, it's a legitimate point. And I don't know where they get this statistic from that says 50% of retired military personnel have given their 50% of the retired military personnel that have donated to presidential candidates have donated to Ron Paul. Excuse me, I'm coming down with a cold. I've been sneezing all day. I apologize. I don't know where they got this statistic from. I would actually like to see that in print somewhere. I'm not doubting it, but it's the first that I've heard of it. So if anybody has that information, feel free to email that to me at freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. But that's certainly exciting. 50% of retired military personnel who have contributed to presidential candidates have contributed to Ron Paul. And an interesting statistic that there's in a 2-to-1 ratio of former military have given, no, of military members have contributed to candidates that are against the war. Very interesting, certainly a thermometer of the mood among the troops. And Ron Paul again talks about how we need to talk to our enemies. And I think that's a really, really important point. It's one of the first things that really impressed me about Ron Paul back in the first debate when he mixed it up with Giuliani, and I believe actually it was probably the second debate. And he said that we need to listen to our enemies and understand what it is that they want and what it is that upsets them. And it evokes another great man that I follow spiritually. His name is Thich Nhat Hanh, and he's a Buddhist meditation teacher. And, you know, he's someone whose ideas have helped me in my life in managing anger and in managing distraction and just negative feelings in general. And he frequently speaks about, you know, if you've got a problem with somebody, first you listen to yourself and find out why you're experiencing this problem with somebody. And then he says, you know, listen deeply to what someone has to say to you without emotions. Just listen to them, hear it, understand what it is that motivates them. So this is, you know, this is just simple basic diplomacy. This is a simple basic practicality in dealing with individuals and other nations. It's just simply practical to really have a deep understanding about what it is that they really want, rather than painting on top of them what it is that you project onto them about what they want, about what motivates them. We have a tendency to project, okay? And it's certainly done on a national and international scale as well. We project this image of evil onto the enemy. Okay, now that could be just a mistake. People make mistakes. In this case, I think it's far more than a mistake. It's actually intentional. They paint and project onto supposed enemies like Iraq and Iran images that suit certain purposes. Okay, you know, and Ron Paul says, hey, let's get real. Let's find out really what it is that these so-called enemies have against us and see if we can diplomatically solve the problem before we're always just so ready to turn to the military option, which, let's face it, you know, as any schoolyard bully would do, you know, we use that first. That's our first option, okay? We got a problem with somebody, we're going to knock you, okay? That's it. We're the big boy on the block. You know, we've got the brawn, so that's our solution to everything. And Ron Paul says this has to change. And we're being seen as occupiers around the world, especially in Iraq. Very important to understand that. Now, he answered a question that I wanted to ask him, which was about the... he just kind of threw this in at the end there, but he said, we are in the early stages of a financial collapse, which I believe that we are in. That's what he said. And it certainly does appear that way. It certainly does appear that way. This week, the U.S. dollar broke down below a crucial level. And if it doesn't bounce back next week, it could be in some serious trouble. And we could be looking at a serious devaluation of the U.S. dollar. And this will have many implications for the financial system nationally and internationally. We are a debt-financed economy. People have to buy our debt. They have to loan us money in the form of purchasing treasury bills and purchasing our stocks and financial assets, investing in our companies, and countries around the world, especially China and Japan, are less likely to do that if the denomination of their investments is falling. If you know that you're going to invest in something today in U.S. dollars, and the U.S. dollar is going to be worth 30% less in a matter of months, which is entirely possible, are you likely to make that investment? No. You're more likely to perhaps sell investments that you've already made, which would, of course, drive the dollar down even further and faster. So we're coming into that kind of a situation right now. Ron Paul sees it. He's the only one on the political stage who does. He will even speak of it as it stares us right in the face, right now, at this moment. Okay? Nobody else is bringing it up. It's like it's not even happening. Now, I did listen to Financial News recently this week, and the R word is coming up frequently. They are saying recession. They are saying recession. Now, when they're starting to say recession, that means we are in a recession, because they never talk about it until after it's already happened and it's a fait accompli. So we are in a recession right now. If the financial news media is starting to chatter about it. And serious problems on the financial front, dead ahead, or we are in them. We are in them. It's transpiring right now. The bubble, the debt bubble is imploding. So hang on to your hats, buy some gold and some silver, and stock up on whatever you think you need, because there's no telling where this baby's going. Be prepared, be wise, and stay tuned to Ron Paul, because he's going to cue us in as to what's happening as it transpired. You won't hear it from any other politician. Okay, so let's go ahead and go on to the next clip. We have an interview with Ron Paul on KOMO Radio, and that's a much shorter clip, and we'll play that and see what they have to say there. So let's go ahead and roll that KOMO.
Thanks for joining us on KOMO 1000 News with Amanda Factor and Bill Yin.
Well, the race for the White House has come to Seattle. Texas Congressman Ron Paul is live in the studio, a Republican presidential candidate for the White House.
Our time is limited. We'll apologize for that to start with. But the obvious question is your reaction to the president's announcement last night that 20,000 troops might be coming home if enough progress is made in Iraq by next summer.
I can't find that as a very significant statement. I think it's more, you know, mission maybe has been accomplished. Maybe we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm much more interested in change in policy, the policy that got us involved by mistake in this region. So I'm interested in change in policy and deciding that it is not in our best national interest to be over there. I'd like to bring our troops home as soon as possible.
Can I ask a question that I have not heard anyone address yet, and that is the rebuilding of Iraq? When and if the fighting stops, this country has been badly, badly damaged. What role does the United States play in that?
You know, that is a very important question, and probably doesn't have a neat little answer, because I see my moral and constitutional responsibility to the taxpayers of America, and I complain that first we ask the American people to bomb a country, then we're supposed to ask the American people to rebuild the country. You know, I've always complained that you could get a bridge built in Iraq a lot easier than we could look after our bridges here in this country, and ironically, it's just so foolish for us to do that. So I do not see that I can impose the penalty of rebuilding Iraq on the American taxpayer. It is utterly tragic that this is the case, but it is the foreign policies that fall. The best I can do to contribute is a change in our foreign policy, accept the original notion that we should be minding our own business and be not trying to be the policemen of the world and try to avoid these tragedies. Instead, it looks like we're moving toward expanding the war in Iran, and I think that will be a disaster.
Some people would consider you a long shot for the top job in the country. Do you consider yourself a long shot?
I think it's a difficult job, but I think our numbers are improving every day. The fundraising is improving. The presence we have on the Internet is astounding. But still, we don't have tens of billions of millions of dollars that the special interest candidates get. They expect to raise $150 million. But we are doing very well, and long shots have won before, and therefore there's a lot of time left in these next several months to prove ourselves. But literally, although we do very well on the Internet, we have to prove ourselves in the early primaries.
It's a crowded field. What makes you different from the rest of the characters?
I'm a strict constitutionalist. I think the rest are very careless with the Constitution. I don't want to do anything that we're not authorized to do. And very definitely, I have a more traditional Republican foreign policy. I'm still running on the policy that Bush ran on in the 2000. Remember when he talked about a humble foreign policy? Well, I believe in that, and I believe the founders were correct about non-intervention and staying out of entangling alliances. And right now, that makes me completely different from the other candidates.
And you'll be speaking on the Constitution this afternoon, 1:30 at Seattle University. Also, a rally tonight at the West End at 7:30. More than 1,000 people, your supporters, expected to be there.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Congressman, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks,
Congressman Ron Paul from Texas and presidential candidate.
9:19 now.
All right. Another nice interview with Ron Paul in Seattle. And he first comments about the supposed pullout of troops, and he commented yesterday as well in certain news articles, print articles, on this theme. Actually, he commented on this in his speech at Johns Hopkins University. And it's a smokescreen. Okay, they throw out numbers. 30,000 troops will be withdrawn by June. Well, you know what? That's almost a year away. And a lot can happen between now and then, and it's a small number, and, you know, they can change their minds at any time. And this is just to make a big announcement, 30,000 troops are being withdrawn from Iraq. And this is what people are left with. Oh, they're pulling out of Iraq. Good. Now I can go back to sleep. You know, it's just a smokescreen. This is what Ron's indicating here. It's a smokescreen. I remember back when they announced that this Petraeus fella would be taking over for his predecessor. And it was such an obvious propaganda campaign. Before I do this, I'm going to go into something here. The number to call into the show, I keep forgetting to give this, 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714 to participate in the show. Would love to hear from you, 877-270-8714. Anyway, back to Petraeus. Betray us, maybe. They started to, on all the stations, you know, I tend to listen to NPR, National Propaganda Radio, and just to get some news from somewhere, because I don't watch TV, and I don't listen to much of any of the other shows that are out there. And so just to, you know, keep up a little bit, I was listening to that, and I noticed, though, that on all of the news channels all at the same time, they were all referring to this Petraeus as Dave. He was this new, he was being introduced, nobody knew who the heck this guy was, being introduced to the country. Dave Petraeus. Now, they weren't calling him General Petraeus, or General Dave Petraeus, or General David Petraeus. No, it was Dave Petraeus. So, tell us about Dave. What kind of a guy is Dave? Tell us about Dave Petraeus. Now, Dave Petraeus, he's the kind of guy that, this is how, across the board, propaganda. Brainwashing. Okay, we've made a change. See, we took this other bad guy out who was mishandling the war, and we put this good, we put Dave in. Dave Petraeus. He's going to take care, because he's Dave. See, we're on a first name basis with Dave. Yeah. And so that went on for a couple of weeks, and then they went through the whole confirmation business of Dave going in to talk to the Congress, and how he was so charming, and everyone just loves Dave, and how he's going to stop. So we had this whole buildup of Dave, the man who's going to save the situation, you know, with in Iraq, and finally we get the payoff to all this with this big announcement this week. Dave gives his word on Iraq, which is, yes, you know, it seems we're doing well, so we can go ahead and take out some troops. You know, as Ron is indicating, a bunch of hooey, okay? Bunch of hooey, smoke screen, they have no intention of staying there, leaving there, as long as they can shovel more money to their contractor buddies and prepare for war with Iran, as Ron is indicating, so they can continue to bomb it and rebuild it. They make it on both ends. First they destroy it, then we rebuild it. With what? With fiat money that the Federal Reserve prints to put us into more and more and more and more debt. Unbelievable. I think we have Paul from New York on the line. Is Paul there? Do we have Paul? Hello?
Steven?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to your show last couple of weeks. I like it.
Oh, thank you very much. So, what's up with you? Are you a Ron Paul supporter?
Yes, sir, I am. Made over 2,500 DVDs and handed them out between with our meetup group.
Oh, very good. Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to go over, in New York State, which is what they call the closed primary state, if you want to vote for Ron Paul in the Republican primary, you have to be registered as a Republican by midnight on October 12th. Less than 2 weeks away.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah, so
when's your primary?
You know, I talked to a lot of people, independents and young people and a lot of Democrats.
Yeah, when's your primary in New York?
But they don't understand, they have to get this change of registration done before October 12th in New York State. I don't know what it's like in the other closed states, but if they're registered independent on October 13th, or they're a registered Democrat on October 13th in New York State, that they're not going to be able to vote in a Republican primary. And another thing,
New York State is moving its primary
up to Super Tuesday.
In the past, the New York State
primary didn't meet for anything because it was so late. The candidates were already decided by the time we got around to our primary voting date. There's a lot of states moving up to Super Tuesday this year.
Yeah.
And I suspect come Wednesday after Super Tuesday, these candidates are going to be picked. It's going to be all over.
Well, I would say my advice to you, Paul, if that's an actual fact and you're sure about that, I mean, are you in touch with your meetup organizer there in New York? Are you in New York City or are you in...
No, I'm in Buffalo.
Buffalo, okay.
We're trying to get the word out, but, you know, this is a fact. This is, we've gone to the election boards, county election boards, and we've put it in our DVD and... We're trying to call different radio shows.
Well, I'd say it's time to hit the post office, grab a big old stack of those voter registration forms, get out in front of supermarkets, and start registering people. That's the only way you're going
to
do it. You got to go door to door.
We're trying to get the word out, but people don't realize this. You know, maybe you could get some election experts on your program as a guest or something, but
hopefully people in New York are listening to the show, and I'm happy to get the word out via the show and everything, and make sure that what I would do, Paul, is if that's a solid fact and it's for sure, email all the go to ronpaul.meetup.com and email all of the Ron Paul meetup organizers and assistant organizers and tell them, hey, we got to start registering people to vote right away. And grab a stack of registration forms, get in front of the post office, get in front of the any busy place that you can, and start registering people Republican. Anybody that wants to register Republican, take their registration and then get it in there.
Yeah, we've been trying, Steve. It's just that, people just don't understand.
They're
surprised when they hear the facts.
I got something else for you. On my website, ronpaulradio.us, you look on the right-hand side, in this project, I will vote for Ron Paul. And we're using the site petitiononline.com. And what I need you to do is go there and then set up a page for New York. I set up a page for California. You can use that as a model. And basically it will say on there, I pledge that I will register Republican to vote for Ron Paul in the New York State GOP primary on February 4th, if that's the date, and then have people on that page pledge their vote to Ron Paul. And that way you'll have a list of people that intend to vote for Ron Paul, and we can disprove this 2% theory that we keep hearing about. And you can make sure that those people do actually register, and then you can also reach them when it comes close to voting time and make sure that they do actually go out and vote for Ron Paul.
Hey, Steve, you got a great show. You're doing a good service.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your calling in. Don't be shy. Now, when we had the August 26th walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message, we had some people walking in Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. I seem to remember that. And were you part of
Rochester?
Were you there? Oh, Rochester. Okay.
I was in Rochester. No, I had to work.
Oh, you had to work. Okay.
We had over 50 people in Rochester.
Yeah, well.
And Syracuse and Corning and all over the state.
Cool. Well, the next one is October 13th. It's coming up. And, in fact, there's a conference call tonight for planning that. So get involved. And
we are, Steve.
Make it happen. All right. Thanks for your call, Paul. And I'll talk
Steve.
To you later. All right.
Bye.
So let's go ahead and we're going to listen to a song. It's almost a daily occurrence that I get new songs. And I got a new song from my friends who have written me music previously. It's Kim McDaniel and Larry Seeger, and they wrote for me The Freedom Message Train. You know, so I put out this little email, and it's funny, I put out just like a little line, throwaway line in an email saying, hey, you know, I changed the name of my show to The Freedom Message, and I could use some theme music, you know, if anybody out there wants to write something, and I've gotten four pieces. I mean, I didn't really expect anybody to do it, but they did it. And you guys rock. Okay, simple. You rock. All right, so Freedom Message Train, here's the words. It's not the time to stay silent. It's not the time to sit on our hands. Time is ripe for revolution. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Climb aboard the Freedom Message Train. Come on, let's go. Let's take our country back. Climb aboard the Freedom Message Train. Come on, let's go. Let's get it back on track. We've got a one-way ticket through history. Let's take a stand for liberty. Ron Paul will be our guide, telling truth far and wide. Climb aboard the Freedom Message Train. And so that would be one Freedom Message Train demo, hi-fi128.mp3. Let's go ahead and roll that. tonight, Freedom Message Train, by Kim McDaniel and Larry Seeger. Thank you guys very much for that. Rockin'. Really appreciate it. So, we're going to wrap up soon here. And just wanted to go over again, the conference call is tonight for the All-America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message at 5 p.m. Pacific. And the number is 712-432-2600, 712-432-2600, and the code is 26447, 26447, same number, same code, just an hour later, for the National Federation of Republican Women's Convention conference call. And remember, this Sunday is Constitution Day. If we don't get out there and celebrate Constitution Day, who will? It's us, the Ron Paul people. We got to do it. Get out there, even if it's just you all alone standing on a sidewalk with a sign that says "Save the Constitution, vote Ron Paul." If that's all you do, then let it be you. Okay? It takes all of us doing everything that we can every single day. We don't have a lot of time, as our friend from New York was indicating. Time can be shorter than you think. We don't have a lot of time. So we've got to get in motion, okay? Do something this weekend to spread the freedom message. Please, I'm begging you, don't sit around. Get out there on the playing field and get the freedom message out there. It's Constitution Day weekend. Never a better time to do it. All right, thanks a lot for listening, and I look forward to speaking with you on Monday. Remember, there will be a debate Monday night in Fort Lauderdale, and we'll be talking about that. So have yourself a great freedom-filled weekend. Stephen Vincent, Freedom Message, signing off. Sleep.